Okay, everyone, this is Thursday, October 24th, and this is the meeting of the Beautification and Environmental Advisory Committee for that date. And why don't we get moving? We have a big agenda. First order is I call the meeting to order, and I ask that we all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, now we're going by our agenda. Next item is roll call. We go to the left.
Bob Knapp.
Edward Beyer.
Glenn Parker.
Jeffrey Seib. We have our group here. We have a quorum. We will have a new member soon, we hope. We have Beth and Jordan here also. And we have the chairs actually are occupied. This is wonderful. Okay, so let's continue on with the meeting. And our next item is the minutes. And this is the meeting minutes of the September 26th meeting last month. We went over a number of items. We did a little bit of work in between the meeting, and I'd like to just put it before the group. What does everybody think about the minutes?
Make a motion, we approve.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor of approve the minutes. Meeting minutes approved as stated. Any discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes?
Aye.
Minutes are approved. Go on to the next item. Now, I have a item I'd like to make a slight change in the order of the items to bring item number 3, the review of our Eagle in Flight art donation. Because thinking about the work of art, I gave a call to the artist and the work of art are here. So would that be okay with the group that we just bump up that item to first item on the agenda?
Yes.
And I'd like to introduce, this is Ron Wallace. He's a local artist. Maybe Ron, you can say a bit about yourself and about the work of art.
Art is one of those things I've been fiddling with it for years, but this sculpture I did down here, I've lived in Palm Coast 6 years, going on 7 in July. And 2 years ago, we had a cold winter, and my studio is in my garage. So it's nothing fancy. If you like a garage full of crap, it's my studio. I like plugged in a heater, it was cold, and this wood is all off of palm trees. I cut each piece. His head is made out of rosin and two-part epoxy putty, and everything else is wood. I backed up to a canal in my house, and this piece of wood was drifting down the canal, and I waited out and got it and put it in my garage and dried for 2 years. I was telling the lady that he's worth to me so much more than I'll ever get for him, and I don't want to give him away. And I thought it might be interesting that the city might have some interest where more people could see it.
I'm
exposed. Now my feelings are, he doesn't have to stay on the stump. Might not be a good idea because so many people want to touch him. You know, I don't know how many people would be. But you could hang him from the ceiling, or we could make the pedestal taller. But that's a thought for you guys.
How long did it take you to
About 2 months, 3 months. He has a steel frame all underneath, and each one of these pieces is glued on individually.
When did you finish it?
He went in the show, I won the show, and then he's been in the bedroom for about a year and a half, collecting dust. So if there is an interest, I'm willing to donate him. Otherwise, I will take him to my next show and dress up again.
I did a piece and it took me a while. I was married to it for a while. I didn't want to sell it. I didn't want to give it away.
When you get so your house starts to fill up, pretty soon you got to get rid of it.
I had to put an easel in the middle of the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ron, the term a garage of junk, that's an artist's studio.
Well, that's my, I had a couple. I did a show in St. Augustine. I did it for 2 years. It was a fringy day, and this couple called and said, we saw you in St. Augustine. We're going to come by your studio and look at your stuff. And I said, well, if you call a garage full of junk, no cars, but it is my studio, come on by. Well, they came by and they bought $500 worth of my pieces. Wow, where did that come from? Nobody was more shocked than me. But they said, you're right, you do have a garage for a studio.
Very nice.
It's nice.
Thank you.
I like it on the stand as it is, all natural.
Some of those little strings you see might be the 3600 blue that I believe there's on the board.
Where is it? Anywhere?
Well, I think the pedestal that it's on, it looks all part of the natural.
I like it on the pedestal.
Yeah.
My question was, if you put it in a public place, will it be hands on touching? How many kids will go by and go, oh, look at the bird?
Of course. Well, that would.
I could interject at this point.
Yes.
We have taken the pictures preliminary to the parks team. There are concerns with having it at the community center.
I don't care where it goes. I just mentioned that
okay. To
Jeffrey simply because I go to the dog park on Colbert every day with my dog and I go by there.
Right. The concerns with the community center is there's a lot of traffic in and out there and you know, there's there's younger kids and it's might be tempting.
Right.
So we wouldn't want anything to happen to the sculpture. It's such a beautiful piece. So, but, you know, there are potentially other areas that it could go. In the long run, you know, when we have our Long Creek Nature Preserve facility, this would be, you know, a spectacular piece to kind of showcase at that facility.
Good.
Doesn't exist yet, but so there are other optional places that it could potentially be on display within the city. In just kind of roughly throwing out two, one would be potentially here at City Hall. The other would be at Fire Station 25.
Fire Station 25 is
on Belter.
On Belter.
It's
right here, close, just up the turn up from Belter.
Yes. Yes. So, and then just to kind of tell you the process for the sculptures to kind of be donated to the city, the first step would be, presenting to the parks team. I think we've already initially done that. And then the Arts Commission, and then final approval would be the BEAC. But if you guys are on board with kind of jump-starting that process, then that would be the next step, is taking it to the parks team, officially. There were some questions, not sure what the material was and things of that nature. So
he would go outside, but not for very long. Mm-hmm. He does have a steel frame underneath. And moisture will eventually
not be indoors.
It's welded rocks. It's welded together.
We were making that assumption, but again, to have that kind of confirmed would be
helpful. We need to go inside.
Well, why was fire engine? That's a particular engine number that would fit in, or
The lobby there. It's I think it's the
25
newest
fire
station
25, by the tennis center.
It's right around the corner from here.
Right up there.
That's the newest. Yeah, that's right.
And everybody felt it spoke well to kind of the theme of, firefighters and,
That's a good brand.
So we do have locations that it is a viable option.
Okay. Well,
it's a terribly wonderful quality piece and certainly acceptable.
Don't blow too much out of there, I'll get swallowed up.
So I think we can jumpstart and approve it here and let the parks have fun with deciding where it should go. But I like a location here at City Hall.
I think City Hall location would be a good one. maybe that, could we maybe go forward with a number of choices?
So again, we're going to kind of narrow down the final location with the parks team.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. We can make a recommendation. That'll be here.
We can yeah. make a recommendation. I think that's a good idea. How do we feel? How does the group feel? The whole thing.
It's good.
It's a gorgeous piece.
Maybe the firehouse, though, for some reason, would be better.
I just don't see the traffic there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
A limited number of people going to the firehouse.
Where in this building would be good? I don't know.
It would most likely be in the upper lobby. Again, because of we get a little bit more of a younger traffic downstairs and an older traffic upstairs. So that would
upstairs on the second floor.
But that still has, I think, a heavy amount of traffic, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Administrative department is upstairs, so.
Okay. So do we want to go forward with a motion on this? Everything that we just said, the motion being that we approve the donation of the eagle sculpture by Ron Wallace, and we would like to move it forward with a. Do we want to include a location or just say we would, our recommendation is here in City Hall first?
First, that would be a good way to put it.
And then we go from there.
So moved.
Okay, do we need a, let's take a vote on that?
Second.
Wait a minute, who made the motion? Ed? Bob? Bob made the motion to approve that. The motion to approve the motion. Is that the way it goes? And the second. Okay, Glenn is seconding it. And we've had a discussion. Everybody ready? All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye. The motion carries, and we want to move it right on. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Ron,
thank you. That was really good.
I'm going to take my bird and go home.
Take the bird.
You're actually going to be heartbroken right now. We have another meeting there.
I wanted to get you all the quarrel on that.
Thank you.
Okay, so why don't we then just we'll keep our meeting moving because we do have a big agenda. Let's go forward with the final review.
Yeah.
Of our climate change, our environmental agenda for 2019, working on it since February. And here we are, the next to last meeting of the year. So let's wrap it up. This is the format that I wrote the, changed the cover letter a little bit because I was going to the planning land development regulation board, the planning board. So I made it in the form of a memorandum, a to and from, and then to noting to the chairman and the members. Everything else is the same as we've had before. One item that I was thinking about was that as we go down the letter, I have all of our names on it to sign, and I was thinking that if we pass this as a motion or approve sending this forward as we're doing, then I don't know if we all need to be on it or do we all want to sign on to it?
I'll sign.
As opposed, okay, fine. That's what I was thinking is if we passed it, then everybody doesn't have to sign it, but we want to sign it. So let's go forward with that. So we got this. I think, I don't know how much this further discussion we need. We've discussed it quite a bit, the whole thing. We've discussed the report itself. We made the changes that we called for. Everybody had a chance to look over them. I wanted to get them back to you folks real quickly so that we could look through it. And I think if we're ready to go, we've looked at this for a while now, several months. So what do we think? What's the group think? Are we ready to go?
We're moving forward, yes.
Okay, well then why don't we, I take a motion from the floor to present our, just the way that Mr. Tyner, Ray came and spoke with us, and we want to go forward with this. If we pass it through now, if we can get it on the agenda, as he said, for December of the planning board, and then go forward with that. This is a good time. There's a lot of good things happening, and one is further on our agenda tonight. But it has to do with the state of affairs that we deal with, and that. So,
is that right? It would be on the agenda then for December, do you think?
That was the, yes. The
well, that was what Ray said. Yeah. So if it's not December, it will then go forward to January's agenda. But I hope that we can move it to that portion. I know the city planners and the city staff has to get a look at it and do their input into it, as every item that goes before the planning board has. So
the November agenda for the planning board was... It's already very packed.
Yeah, well, that's what Ray had said. So,
yes.
Okay, so how do we feel? Okay, do I want to go forward? Then let's take a motion from the floor to accept our report and deliver it to the planning board as called for.
So moved.
That is the motion. Okay, motion on the floor. I have a motion. Bob, motion?
Seconded.
Seconded by Ed. Any further discussion? Okay, let's vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yay.
Any opposed? The yay is considered an aye, and the motion carries unanimously. And that is our environmental agenda for 2019. Thanks, everybody. It was a lot of work.
Did a good job.
And we really worked hard at it, and I'm glad that we can get it rolling. Okay. So now we will go back. We did go back to that.
Before we go any further, where do we actually physically sign this thing?
Why don't we physically sign it right now? Sorry about that. Good. Thank you.
Black pen.
I have a crayon.
Close enough.
Crayon.
Crayola? Or an off-brand?
Pencil or crayon?
Yes.
This is exciting.
Thanks. When I retired from teaching, I sent a cartoon to the superintendent, and I signed it Glenn, and he had to come find me the next day, and he said, "You really leaving?" Mm-hmm. I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Well, you know, it doesn't count because you didn't sign your full name. Give me the paper." And he happened to have it. I signed this caricature myself.
Thank you.
That was your retirement?
Yes, it was.
They didn't give you a watch or
anything? I'm a teacher. They don't give you a watch. They just let you watch.
I retired from the state after 25 years. I didn't get a watch. I got a retirement dinner, a lunch, and the watch wasn't coming. Wasn't forthright. Now, Trenton Police, you got the watch. No, the commendation. Oh, okay. Ed?
You're lucky they said goodbye to you as you walked out the door. That was...
Ooh!
Happy to see you go.
Okay. Ooh. Okay, moving on from that, let's go to item number four. We're moving through this stuff fast, and this is good. And that is the update on Monarch City, USA with the Palm Coast Garden Club. I received an email from Subara, but I think we can talk about that a little more. We have Kathy here. Why don't you come up, Kathy, if you want to come to the podium. And Kathy, why don't you, you've spoken with Beth already. Let us know everything about you.
My name is Kathy Riker-Dolavsky. I'm a volunteer with the Palm Coast Historical Society. Saturday, we're going to be dedicating turtle number 7. The Garfield Turtle, part of the PCAF Trail. If you've been out to Holland Park, you may notice that the building's a little plain. And one of the ways we thought that we might dress up the front is to have some additional landscaping. Mm-hmm. But because there is no budget for that from the city or within the Historical Society, we thought about partnering with the Garden Club. When I approached them, either through Sue or Beth or a combination of the two, I learned that your organization is thinking about becoming a monarch city and having a series of gardens that would attract monarch butterflies, and I imagine have some kind of a map or trail that would lead people to these gardens. And I thought, well, that's just another perfect way of helping people find the Historical Society and Museum, because 9 out of 10 people you ask have never heard of us or know where we're located, which was one of the reasons why I decided to sponsor the turtles. I thought if we got on the turtle trail, they would at least find the turtle and lo and behold find the museum in the process. By additionally having us part of the Monarch Garden, we could be discovered by gardeners and also help beautify the museum. So I needed to learn from you where you are in the process to find out if you'd be interested in having this location part of your trail and what we would need to do to qualify and help recruit volunteers. As I mentioned to you earlier, we barely have enough volunteers to run the museum, so we don't have enough to plant plants or weed the gardens. But if we partnered with the Garden Club and other volunteers, perhaps we could keep it looking nice.
Sounds wonderful. I think it's a great idea. Beth, you had mentioned at a previous meeting about a location at Holland Park. Would we be able to kind of coordinate, maybe have, Kathy has said, have the location close by where the Historical Society is, the garden itself, so that it will do exactly what you're saying, dress that up and give it the extra added shot of that this is a monarch butterfly garden?
Yeah, I think it's kind of great. So there's probably a smaller space within the children's park itself that we were going to plant some, you know, butterfly-friendly plants. And to kind of carry that over into another section of the park, I think it would unify it. So,
How big is a monarch butterfly garden?
Well, they don't set any sort of minimums.
They don't have a minimum. They do mention that it needs the milkweed plants for the like a pupal stage, a pupae stage, chrysalis, I think. What do they call it?
Chrysalis.
Yes, that phase of their growth cycle. But then they need a diversity of other wildflowers also, which to feed on, rest on, hang around with, and that's what we're looking at. But as far as I'm looking on the websites of Monarch, and there's all different sizes, so it can be small, it can be large. I think it just has to have that diversity of flowers. We could probably make it as large or as small. Now, if there is an area you're thinking of the Historical Society building, like what would you be thinking of as far as a length, the front of the building, the side of the building, the back of the building?
Well, I guess it depends a little bit on orientation, although if you step the garden back far enough from the building, it's going to get sun all day. If it's too close to the front, it would have some shade because of the way the building sits.
Yeah,
so we have to analyze those things.
Yeah, there it would be best. You don't want it in full sun all day.
Okay. Well, then it would be better closer up, which is where I was kind of picturing it would look the nicest, because we have a little bit of an overhang and a cement pad with arches. So the museum is to the left, our office is to the right, we walk between the two, and then there's grass in front of that, and the turtle is out front with just lawn. So I thought, oh, to have plantings on either side of the turtle would just enhance the whole look of the turtle, especially if we could maybe be selective about the plants that might suggest a sea environment, and I don't know if that's possible, but we were looking at grasses. Before I ever came up with the Monarch Garden Partnership, we were looking at certain grasses that might suggest that it's swimming through the pond or something, but, you know, we could
Well, we have to look into that.
Yeah.
But, I think when I see the pictures, it's really beautiful. All the wildflowers, mm-hmm. all different mm-hmm. types, all different sizes, and
blooming different times of the year. Yes. I imagine.
Yes, that's what it would be. And
yeah, so who? I know where that building is. Mm-hmm. I've been in there mm-hmm. with Art Dyke. Is Art Dyke still staying there?
Yes, yeah. He's the co-historian with Elaine Spodnicki.
Right. Yeah, I talked to Elaine also. Yeah. In fact, I was going to do something for them, dealing with the history.
Okay.
But I haven't talked to.
Butterflies like low muddy areas too.
But how would that help the historical society? Could people be drawn over there to see
find
it?
Us? That was my thought. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many people are going to actually try to locate these gardens the way they might try to locate the turtles on the trail.
Yeah.
But
that's the thing, is the turtle would be an attraction also in the garden nearby. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, that's
you know, we had spoken about this because we were talking, we had great plans, and we've been kind of, the plans of stepping down a little, and we thought of an introductory garden, right? Maybe just get going with one location for a start.
Where's the
this
turtle
might be the best location.
To your building?
It's about 10 feet in front of the second arch.
You have a slope there in front. Have you walked to the
pavilion? No, it's on the level part. Uh-huh. So when you're parking your car where the handicapped spots are on the
right,
there's a walkway, and we have it off to the right as you're going to the front door of the museum, slightly at an angle so you can see the image of Garfield on the back of the turtle. And we thought about a few other locations, maybe on the bank, so that when people are driving by, they could see it. But we thought, if somebody's a little careless, they might run off the road and hit the turtle. And we really want to encourage people to park and get out of their cars and look at it and not just kind
of
glance at it on a drive-by. So we picked another location where you really kind of have to walk up to it to see it.
Good. And that... I'm just coming up with an idea, since this Saturday is the dedication,
mm-hmm.
you'll be there.
Right.
Anybody, we can't discuss anything, but if we want to meet there, I was planning on going to the dedication, because we've been involved in that, and I would encourage everybody, maybe we could get a look at,
just do an assessment,
see you and get a look at what we're talking about.
The dedication starts at 11:30, it'll probably last about a half an hour, mm-hmm. and then at 1 o'clock we're going over to the community center, and Bill Butler is our featured keynote speaker for Founders Day, which is always the last weekend in October. This year is 49 years since ITT started Palm Coast. Next year is going to be our bigger celebration. So this Garfield turtle is kind of the kickoff for what we hope will be a year-long observance of historical events in Palm Coast.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's fun.
Well, what do we have to do? What can we do when we go there? It wouldn't be a meeting.
Mary is in our.
So you can all be there. You just can't discuss
any of the items
yes.
that are that we can mm-hmm. we can look at the location for the monarch.
Yes, so I
butterfly
garden. Kind of
that's just something within
right.
our
right.
own.
And as an aside, I did do a little bit of searching, and I found two images of Garfield with turtles. One with him, a puzzle piece, and there was a not with turtles, with butterflies, and he had a butterfly on his nose, and another one where he's running through a field chasing butterflies. And I thought, if we could get permission from Jim Davis, perhaps we could use some of these images or get a local artist to do an interpretation of these images to further publicize that garden, maybe others. We do have a relationship with Jim Davis, because he partnered with ITT back in 1985, and we are the only community that he ever partnered with in terms of a licensing agreement. Everything was always merchandise or memorabilia. So he recently donated a cartoon that you'll see in our museum that commemorates Garfield's birthday, and he signed that, and we had it matted and framed. And prior to him selling Paws Inc. to Viacom a few months ago, he had agreed to pose with a picture of our turtle with the Garfield image on it, and then sign that and send it back to us. So we're hoping that with the new administration, we'd still be able to work that out. He's been very cooperative, very, very nice. So, you know, I hope that we could maybe be creative and do other things with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that Mrs. Krautz, Nancy, had actually spoken with him prior to the turtle going forward and asked if he would do the artwork, the Garfield, and apparently he was too busy at the time, but he approved the young man that did do it.
Yeah, actually, my partner Mark Leo, who's a board, he's a trustee with PCAF, is the one who's been in communication with Kim, who was his assistant for like 35 years, and then retired with this sale to Viacom, and we had invited him to come to Palm Coast and appear with the turtle, but he's in his 70s and he's not interested in traveling. But this is where we came up with the idea for the photograph, and maybe he would pose with the photo. And so, Plan B.
Is that going to be rain or shine on Saturday? Okay.
I know. It was supposed to be nice, and now it's 40% rain, right?
40%.
We'll be there regardless.
Okay, well then...
11:30 on Saturday.
Yeah. And the museum will be open a little early.
11:30 Saturday.
If you want to come a little early, we'll have the museum open, and you can see the Garfield exhibit that I put together to try to find any documentation that we had in our files. So far, we've been able to show that he was used in advertising from 1985 to 1989. And if we find anything later than that, we'll add to it. But there was a coloring book, and we have images, like 12 images from that coloring book, where it says, rather be biking, rather be boating, rather be playing tennis. So they're all framed and hanging on the wall. We enlarged the cover of the coloring book that says, Live the Good Life in Palm Coast, which was his most famous image on the billboards, which I'm told were numbered 120 on I-95. And as you drove down I-95, it had these little teasers. Would you rather be boating?
You mean it rivaled Pedro's south of the border?
I think it did. I think it may not have started as far away, but there were probably many billboards. So we have that. And Garfield was a mascot used in a lot of parades. And that's one of the things that started me on this search, because Art Dyke did the book on images of Palm Coast, and in there, I saw this picture of Garfield in a parade, and I'm like, what was Garfield doing? And I started asking questions and digging a little deeper, because I've only lived here for 2.5 years, so I didn't know anything from having lived it. I had to dig a little bit, and that's when I found out about the billboards and all these other things.
Well, you know, if you get Art Dyke's book... In fact, I was at a Walgreens the other day, and they're selling that book.
Do they have it there? Oh, yeah, wonderful. Well, it'll be for sale in the community center, and if you buy it there, $2 of the sale goes to us.
He gave me one a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
He gave me one more.
For those of you who don't already have your own copy.
Yeah, Art Dyke. He's a historian.
Since 2000. He was the very first historian.
There's other famous historians around here, right? Cisco
Dean.
Cisco Dean,
he's with the Flagler County Historical Society, and he's a member of ours, but he doesn't do actual volunteer work, as far as I know.
Yeah.
But, we actually, Ed Serkowitz, I don't know how to say his last name, he's the new head of the Flagler County Historical Society since Mary Ann Clark moved to Chicago. She's in her 90s. He also volunteers at the Florida Agricultural Museum, and is a cameraman with Flagler County Television. He's initiated a Flagler History Roundtable. So Cisco's organization over at the Holden House, Flagler Beach, Ag Museum, ourselves, we're all having monthly roundtable meetings to find out what each other are doing, to raise awareness and participate in this bi-monthly television show that Ed's trying to put together.
So. Wow.
Okay.
That's all the news I have for you today.
Wow, that's a lot of news. Okay, what I'm thinking of is how to some way to go forward here with this. What we need to get things coordinated to get it set up right, because we want to get everybody on board. We want to figure out any of us that might want to be at the dedication, we can round up Kathy perhaps, and we can look at an area. Look around for a location.
Contact anytime.
Okay.
And if maybe we can reach out to the Master Gardeners and see if they could potentially be at that dedication, so they kind of see.
Oh, in the garden club, is it? Is it? There's two different things, right?
Who are you speaking with?
We're speaking with the garden club.
Garden club. I'm sorry. Garden club.
That I can, well, do we want, yeah, we can do that. Why don't we see if we can
because
do that?
Because it would rely on the partnership with them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Before. Yeah, that's what I want to get rolling on. I received an email from Sue, and, September meeting that they were going to discuss it was hurricaned out. That was right when Dorian was heading. And we didn't know where it was heading. Luckily, it spared us. Category 5 would not have been pretty as it wasn't for the Bahamas. But they just had the October meeting, and I emailed her recently and said that it didn't come up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she's waiting for the November meeting to bring it up again. So I want to... I want to see if we can move things forward with that. Perhaps I will contact her again now, tonight or tomorrow, and mention that the dedication, and that if she could be there or some folks could be there, we could look at, Sue Barra.
I thought that personally. Okay. No. Okay. I did email with her a little bit.
Okay.
I had hoped to have more progress on the garden done by now, but then when I found out about all the renovation work that's being done at Holland Park, I thought, you know what, it probably doesn't hurt to slow it down a little bit and just see where the, all the fencing, the temporary fencing that they have up for the construction, until that's all removed, it wouldn't be attractive anyway. So I'm okay with the fact that we haven't gotten further. I don't know how you feel.
Well,
about
that. I'm concerned about it because a garden, a living thing, we need to know when it gets set up and when we start putting things in the ground, because spring. Spring will be here before we know it. Maybe we will not have a...
So the idea is to get a recommendation from the garden club as the best spot in
the
area?
No, the idea is for them to say they want to join with us.
Oh, okay.
And go forward.
And actually do it.
Then some of the garden club members get there with us and not dig the soil, because the city is going to prepare the site. It'll just be taking a seed and putting it in the soil, and then it will be a site that, and out over there by the historical society, is there an irrigation?
It would most likely need to be established plants, so
Yes.
Okay, we'll establish.
There is no irrigation there at the moment, but there is water nearby for some bays that are being constructed for washing and park equipment. And for the dog park on the other side, so I don't know what's involved in
the line closest to us. Take a look at it. That would be an item we'd have to consider. But it may well be that we can get volunteers to just go out there and water occasionally with the hose, right? What would it take? What do you think?
They're going to have to make some kind of commitment. Right now, we don't know anything.
Well, that's exactly right. That's what I'm concerned about. See, Kathy, this is a program that's a national program, Monarch City USA. Cities join it, And what it means is you pay a fee to join, an application fee. Then you purchase signs that you can place at entrances to the city saying that we are a monarch city, USA.
Kind of like a tree city, USA.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the program asks that you establish a monarch butterfly gardens, and it asks that you promote that to the public so that there are members of the public that are interested in gardens and interested in wildlife and the monarch butterfly. I mean, it's an amazing creature that it migrates to South America, and it goes through, I was reading on it, it goes through 5 life cycles on the migration route. So the butterflies that start out, it's their great-great-great-great-grandchildren that are grand butterflies that are end up in their wintering grounds, and the same way going back.
Wow.
So it's really an amazing story, yeah. And because of the a lot of habitat loss that the butterflies are struggling a little bit, so that's why the program started. So that's what we, you know, I think it's a good thing, and we've all agreed with that. We want to get it going.
There's a gentleman that Nancy Crouch had make a presentation at the Arts Foundation a year or so ago about monarch butterflies. I think he lives in Grand Haven.
His name
and
was...
I don't know, but Nancy would know.
Okay.
Because I wasn't able to go to that, but he's an expert on this, from what I understand.
We need an expert.
Yeah.
How about an expert coming to the December meeting?
Sounds good.
See if we can get that expert. I'll get in touch with Nancy, and I'll mention this. This is great.
The Garden Club contacted us first, and it just seems that we're with all these hurdles of getting in touch with them.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask. Whose idea was it originally? Theirs or yours?
Theirs.
It was theirs, but they're sort of...
They have.
Okay. Well, happens with volunteers, I guess.
Yep.
Okay, so what we're going to try to make go to the dedication on Saturday.
So everybody try to go, or if you can't make it, that is okay. Well, I was planning on being there anyway, and we take a look and we'll see.
And look
if we
at
can...
the, with the idea of looking at different. Areas.
Well, in addition to the dedication itself, we'll see if we can. You can show us where you would, you know, where there might be some areas that are available.
Yeah.
And then I will get in touch with Nancy on this expert and see if he can come to our meeting in December. And then we'll try to see what can be done with the Garden Club to facilitate a little, get things rolling, because I think it's important that we do that as since... you know, these are plants that we'll have to do. We need to figure out how to do it too. How we go about, you know, meaning. Beth had spoken of, maybe you could repeat now, what the city will do for us if we go forward with the Monarch City USA program.
So again, this would need to be presented to the parks team. We would need a plan showing, you know, what the intentions are, what the plans are, things of that nature. And as I mentioned, the city could, you know, prep the site, get it ready for the planting, and then it would, you know, it would basically be, you know, volunteers purchasing the plants and putting the plants in, and
the city will join the organization and buy the signs.
Yes, yes.
A green team.
Yes,
has,
so we
actually,
do.
That's you guys.
We do a number
ladies,
of things
so.
Already, and
we would kind of incorporate that into it because we this past Arbor Day we released monarch butterflies as part of the butterfly release. And then also, Jordan's involved with it, with Carol, we have our TURP program. So these could become a, and I think it's part of the requirements, it becomes a learning opportunity for the children of the community. So it would be incorporated into that potentially. So, which you know is good because the kids will go home and.
These signs would ideally be placed in conjunction with the Tree City signs, so we don't have to install more poles. They'll just be put in the same location.
Five signs.
Yes, the green team will purchase five signs.
Five signs. That's enough. That's good. Okay, so that's that part of it, and we'll go forward with all everything that we've spoken of already.
Okay.
We all agree on that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great.
Wonderful. And if something happens, you can't be there on Saturday, do you want me to give you my email or phone number? I'm happy to do that.
Do you have a card?
I have some temporary cards, and I don't know if I have enough for everybody, but I can give out at least one or two.
Okay, anybody not planning on being there gets a card.
I'll be at the community center.
You have more cards. You'll be. You won't be there.
I'm going to be here.
You will be. I should be there.
I'm going to try.
Okay. Well, that's good. All right. So we will. If you get a card or get that, then we'll at least have it. We'll be able to communicate on this and get
the. You'll miss out on the food then.
I'm familiar with the
I'll
building.
Be at the community center doing my.
The wood carve produced the card responsibility. Half of the building.
Uh-huh.
And then we were displaced by the Historical Society. And they took over the whole building. At one point in time, they had the right half as the museum. And then they took over both halves, so now they have the entire building. So I'm familiar with how it looks out front and everything else. And I think it should be a really good spot to set up a garden.
Okay. Are you getting her email?
Yes,
she
will have her sign in form of a
great, great, great. Okay, so are we through with this item then?
Yes.
Everybody?
We'll speed ahead.
Okay, we are moving right along, which is good. Why don't we go to new business? And new business is something that's pretty neat, I think, from reading through on the agenda. FPL Evolution Program. Beth?
Jordan.
Bob. Mary Lou.
Okay, so this is a PowerPoint that Ms. Denise Bevan put together for me to present to you guys as she is on vacation right now. We are proposing two new car charging stations, like the one we have out front at City Hall, and this is a partnership with FPL, as you can see, their Evolution program. So this is our current city station we have out front. There are two plugs, went live in January 2017. It is part of the ChargePoint network. That's the type of charger that it is. And it is free of charge. No one has to pay to use this. They can charge as much as they like.
Hi.
Hi. See you Saturday.
Thank you.
It was integrated EV infrastructure into park renovations at Holland Park and the community center. Phase one of Long Creek Nature Preserve construction will go live with phase two when power is available. So when that nature center is proposed to go in, we possibly can have one at Long Creek as well. The ones we're proposing for today is the community center and Holland Park to put additional charging stations. We have additional parks identified, but they don't have the infrastructure right now. Indian Trail Sports Complex, the Tennis Center, and the Aquatic Center. So here's the program details. Those are what the charging stations will look like with FPL Blue, obviously. One of every five vehicles sold in the U.S. will be battery powered by 2030, which is fantastic. And they do. I get monthly reports of how much people are charging, and I actually use them in my green team updates. And people are using 200 hours a month for these to charge their cars. And they're incredible. People park, plug in their car, and go walk around the lake.
No, I remember at the Turtle dedication. A car pulled up. It was a minivan, and I plugged it in, and I was gassing up, so to speak.
Yeah.
Powering up while the display was going on.
Yeah. So the signage has already been approved by the parks team. The team supported the following locations, one at the community center and two at Holland Park. They also proposed Indian Trails, the Tennis Center, and Palm Coast Aquatic Center when the infrastructure is available.
Yeah.
So it'll have a green, instead of the white striping for the parking space, it'll have green striping, and it'll say electric vehicle charging, so people know that spot is reserved.
And this is the sign that will be there?
Mm-hmm.
The one on the left? Yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
So now, Jordan, I'm looking at this, and I'm going, and I was looking at it, and I see that, you know, both the community center and Holland Park have the FPL solar panels. Is that the mechanism of the electricity generation?
No.
No.
They're not in conjunction. It just happens to be
okay.
They don't generate enough. I'd be there for the rest of your life charging your vehicle.
No, we just thought these were our primary two targets to start out the program with.
That's really good.
So these are the two proposed spots at Holland Park, those green outline. It is under the solar canopy and fairly close to the Historical Society.
Is the solar already up there?
Yes.
That's already there.
Yes. That's the solar panels at both that's Holland Park.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the community center, the covered
So that's the proposed location for Holland Park for two charging stations. And then here's the proposed for the community center with one charging station. It is up the side of the building on the parking loop by the playground. So these are the next steps. We would need a vote from the committee, and then we would take it to City Council workshop either in November or December, and the business meetings to get these approved to be installed.
Well, what would be the reason why we wouldn't want those? I mean, that's the thing coming up. Is there any downside to putting those up? Or?
Not that I'm aware of, and we have had quite a few requests from citizens asking for additional charging stations, some more north, who live more north in the city, who think it's a little bit of a trek to come down to City Hall to charge at this one, so they're asking for more at various points in the city so they don't have as far of travel to charge their car.
Well, that is along the Palm Coast Parkway. There is populations on both sides of there that would probably be, electric cars or the electric assist systems in place.
Your only downside, I would say, would be you're potentially giving up a parking spot. So you are giving up a parking spot at the community center, which
is already parking spaces for the community center. The community center is designed for 700 and some people at one time, and it's probably parking for about 200 and something. But I do know that the city is considering several options to put additional parking spaces at the community center.
So have you been to the community center
I go there every Tuesday to
the Wood Carvers.
And then also the New Jersey Club meets there monthly. And as long as we're the only people there for the New Jersey Club, it's not a problem. But there have been things where they've rented several rooms and parking is just unbearable. Okay. So the city is aware of the problem. They know it's a problem. I think it's a matter of cost in order to get the additional property for the additional spaces for the parking. But
where are they going to get them from?
I mean, there's an area between the community center and Palm Coast Parkway. Now, let me say this. Southeast, there's a wooded area in there that is supposedly available that they could put additional spots. There's also another area across the street near the fire station that is a possibility for some additional parking places.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking of everything that's there.
Yeah.
Gas station, that other office park, the fire station, the community center. Now there is a wooded area, as you said.
Yeah, there's a wooded area.
South East, right behind it.
Yeah, well, it's actually...
But that's owned by somebody. That's probably privately owned land, or they're getting ready to
do
something, right?
I don't know if it's privately owned or if the city already owns it. I'm not too sure.
Well...
I know that we've had the city manager speak to us about it, because we've complained very vigorously about the fact that there's way under parking for the community center, which is a wonderful, wonderful building.
So there's going to be two spaces?
It would be one at the community center and two at Holland Park.
Yeah, that was the discussion, because originally there was two and it was reduced to one.
I think it's easy to give up space for this. This is too important.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with one space. I mean, one space isn't going to make a difference at the community center.
Well, is that a violation if you pull up and you're not charging and you take that space?
No.
I think you'll be killed.
It's not a violation, but I think it's like
the whole point of it is with the green stripes.
Yeah.
Unless you're charging your car, they don't want you parking.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. People pretty much observe those types of restrictions, like the handicap parking.
It's probably likely to get parked into.
Probably.
Have we had any occasions of vandalism with any of the electric stations?
Not that I'm aware of, with the one here at City Hall.
Well, that's a good question.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so any other further discussion on the matter?
No, I think we can move ahead.
Okay, we need to then take a vote on approving this to go forward. Correct?
Yes.
Jordan?
Yes.
Okay, do I hear a motion?
We'll make a motion that we approve of this, of the FPO.
Evolution.
As stated.
Here's second. Second, we have a motion by Ed, a second by Glenn. Any further discussion? No further discussion. Let's take a vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 The motion passes unanimously. Okay, we are moving right along. Now we'll go to the last item of the items on the agenda. But prior to doing that, I'd like to mention our visitor in the public participation. This is Robin. Robin has applied to be on the Beautification and Environmental Advisory Committee. Past chairman, he's disgruntled. No. Robin has applied to be a member, and we're looking for a new member. So it's nice to see you, and thank you for coming out to, as you had said, to get a look at what goes on. This is a busy meeting tonight, so we're moving right along, and we hope to do that. We have a lot of items.
Very interesting tonight.
Good.
Good. Any questions? Good. That's good.
I had to keep my mouth shut. We talked about the butterflies. I'm like, no, I'm not sitting there.
Well, any input that you would have, feel free.
No.
The public can
no,
speak
just,
at any time.
I was just talking about the butterflies. I do that myself.
Oh.
I raise monarchs in my yard. Yeah.
Are you familiar with all the life cycles of the monarch butterfly? And the plants that are required?
Absolutely.
You have a little muddy area for them?
Yes. No, no muddy for monarchs.
I've heard that from a previous member here, that they like sort of a camp place.
Some of them do. Uh-huh. Some of the butterflies, but no, not the monarch. I just, okay. They lay their eggs on the milkweed, and then the caterpillars come out. I don't know how long that is. And then they eat your plant up. There's nothing left of your plant. Like nothing.
Nothing left of your milk.
Nothing.
Yeah, I've had mine.
Yeah, zero. Nothing. And they crawl up and do their chrysalis somewhere else.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Okay.
Oh, they're beautiful.
I just have a front walkway area.
Okay. Yeah. And so you're familiar with the plants that are required.
Okay.
Okay, this is okay, great.
That's great. We have our person now in charge.
We have our person.
So let's continue on so we can get out of here.
Okay, well, let's go on to the next item on the agenda then, which is the discussion of the Palm Coast Park development of regional impact, environmental. This was the DRI, and I must say I was somewhat surprised to see it on the agenda because what had happened was I was reading the information that the planning board had, which this is a part of called the development order. And I was reading the part of it that has to do with the wildlife and wetlands. And I came across this, and I just felt that it was, it's a pretty much. What they speak of is there's about 2,000 acres of wetlands. First of all, I'm back up a bit. The Palm Coast Park development. If you've been out to US 1, going north from Palm Coast Parkway, Matanzas, all the way up to the county line, all the way up to the Agriculture Museum, mm-hmm. you have the, on both sides of the road is the Palm Coast Park development of regional mm-hmm. impact. It's a massive development. It's going on right now. There's a lot of clearing going on, and they're beginning to build one home development. Sawmill Creek, I think, is in the process of going forward now. But what they call a development of regional impact because it's massive. It's a massive development. And as I was reading through the sections, I came across the environmental areas, which I'm interested in, and I got to the wetland section, and they spoke of 2,000 acres of wetlands that are encompassing or enclosed within the Palm Coast Park development. Within that, as you can read on Part A there, it said that they shall not impact more than 185 acres of wetlands on the property. What that means is they plan to drain and fill that 185 acres. It's a lot of acres of wetlands. But my contention was that if that's it, if it's not just a holding number, if that's the number, and the rest of the 1,800 and some acres of wetlands will be preserved, then I would, as a citizen, as a resident of Palm Coast, thought that would be something that would be okay to do. As long as it wasn't just a holding number till another amendment came through. They've been going through a series of amendments, if you've been watching the agendas for the city council and the planning board, they've been amending and amending the amendments and amending, moving stuff around, what they want to do. That's what happens. It's a big development. So I'm just concerned that this number of 185 wasn't just a holding number, and the number is going to be 285 or 385. So I was concerned about that. The next item that I was the Hewlett Swamp. Hewlett Swamp is enclosed in the Palm Coast Park development area. It is it's like a Graham Swamp. It's a swamp, and I would argue it is more important than Graham Swamp in the sense that the swamps have a filtering purpose of and water, and they flow. Hewlett Swamp flows into Hewlett Branch. Hewlett Branch flows into Palliser Creek, which is a state-recognized waterway. As an environmental item. Well, the swamp filters that water that it sends up to Palliser Creek. So, plus it is it's right in the middle. If everyone familiar with Belterre Parkway and Indian Trails Park, and the schools, Indian Trails Elementary School and Belterre Middle School, it's behind there. You go behind there and you go out to US 1. It's a big chunk of land if you look at it on a map.
Yeah.
Ulit Swamp is right in the middle of that chunk of land. And it's zoned conservation, it's zoned wetland. Anyway, I was concerned about it, and as a resident of Palm Coast, I went to the city council meeting recently and spoke in the public participation stage about what I've said initially, the 185 acres, mm-hmm. about Ulit Swamp. And the other thing was what I supplied all of us with, the material, was on the wetland buffers. And wetlands need an area of buffering. Oh, there it is with the arrow. Jordan just... There is Ulit Swamp.
Oh my God.
The road to the right of there is Belterre Park.
Yes, there's the schools there.
You can see the schools and the park right there. And then you go out, and on the other side, the left-hand side is US 1. Now, there's a big area cleared already on US 1 on that east side. As you from US 1 back eastward to Ulit Swamp. If you could show that down, so down below Matanzas, Jordan, I'm talking about the area that.
The subdivision that's being cleared is right here.
Well, I'm speaking of this area all along here. It's already been cleared. This is US 1, mm-hmm. and then Ulit Swamp is here, but this area here is all just cleared land. It's not forested land. It's been clear for many, many years.
I don't think that's part of Palm Coast Park.
Well, I think that whole chunk is part of Palm Coast
Park. This is Sawmill Creek.
Right.
That's the location of Sawmill Creek. So that has been cleared for development to build houses.
Right.
This, I'm...
Not on the right hand side. I mean on that side. There's Ulit Swamp, and then go right to the east, the other direction. There, right there. All that strip right there is all.
That's what's been clear for years and years and years. They have sidewalks in there.
That's where the sidewalks are, right.
It was burned.
Well, anyway, so that's Ulit Swamp. And I asked that Ulit Swamp be preserved. The third item that I spoke was the wetland buffers. A wetland needs a buffer. A wetland needs an upland buffer to drain and to supply it with the water. It needs that drainage. In the development order, it calls for averaging an average of 25 feet. I'm looking through the literature on wetland buffers, and the wetland buffers literature that I come across states that wetlands need buffers, and a buffer less than 25 feet will eventually degrade the wetland in question. When I read that there is an average of 25 feet, that tells me that there will be
some
areas of wetland that may have less than a 25-foot buffer. And that was my concern, and that was what I presented to the city council, that my grass and the two articles that I presented to you both call for actually even more than that.
Now, what was the response from your presentation?
Well, it's in the public presentation stage, so the response was from acting or vice mayor, I guess, Kluflis, said he would look into this. And when I was leaving, I met with Jason DiLorenzo, who is the in the development development officer is his title with the city. He is a former city council member.
Yes.
So I met with him. Actually, he came up to me in the hallway, and I did mention that I was speaking as a resident of Palm Coast, not affiliated with the BEAC, just as my right is all of our rights to go and petition our governmental leaders. Anyway, so I was surprised to see it on the agenda. So that's my take on it. I'll let Jordan go forward here.
So I'd like to clear a few things. First of all, there's no zoned wetland. That's There's no zoning wetland.
Well, it's a zone conservation.
It's conservation, yes. So the buffers that you're talking about, that is per the land development code. So that's what our land development code states, and it is consistent with St. John's and the Army Corps and everything like that. So it depends on the quality of the wetland, and that's why they say minimum the following. So it depends on the quality. Optimal quality wetlands will have an average width of 50 feet, but no less than 25 feet, and then minimal and moderate quality have a minimum of 15 feet and an average of 25. So if you look at the part of the development order, it says that are consistent with the city's land development code. So that's why the buffer is stated as such.
Okay.
That's what it's...
Now, say that again. What is the... For optimal quality?
For optimal quality wetlands...
50 feet?
It is an average of 50 feet with a minimum of 25 feet.
Minimum 25. Okay.
Yes. For a moderate or low quality wetlands, it is a minimum of 15 feet with an average of 25 feet.
Average of 25.
And that all depends on the UMAM score. So that's how you score a wetland and its quality. You base it on hydrology, community structure, and location landscape. So you give a score to each of those things, multiply it, divide it, and it comes up with a decimal number. And there's ranges for each quality. I believe, let me see if I can find in here. Okay, optimal wetlands have a UMAM score of 0.71 to 1, 1 being best wetland you've ever seen. Moderate quality wetlands have a score of 0.41 to 7.7, and then minimal quality wetlands have a 0 to 0.4 score. So that's how the buffers are applied depending on the quality of the wetland. Next, as far as the impacting of 185 acres, that number is not changing. That number is not changing. They have entitlements to impact 185 acres, and that number, they cannot increase it at all. DRIs go through a huge process, and it's reviewed by all the environmental agencies. It's reviewed by St. John's. It's reviewed by Florida Fish and Wildlife, it's reviewed by DEP, it's reviewed by everybody, and everybody agrees and puts their input onto the DRI. And that's how they come up with this. So they've all approved the buffers and the impacting of 185 acres. So that's not changing, and the buffers are per the code. And
so the swamp is rated as what? Moderate?
I don't know the score of the swamp. I don't.
Is there a listing? Is there a can we get a document that tells where the low quality or high quality wetlands
You'd
are?
You'd have to get an environmentalist out there to score all of the wetlands.
So it hasn't been scored?
It has not been scored yet.
Okay.
It has not been scored yet. I will tell you, as far as Hewlett Branch is concerned,
They
are putting it under conservation easement. So it will not be touched, and they have a significant buffer.
I remember that. I remember I believe it was a 50-foot buffer. Because we had discussed that here in a meeting a while back. Because I was concerned of homes. The Sawmill Creek has homes backing up to that branch.
Yes.
And this was an item that we had a PowerPoint presentation on last year about people deciding they want a bigger backyard. Yeah,
that's right.
And so they level everything right to the water.
They level right to the water's edge. So, and it's not so much in the canals, because a canal home has an area of a city-owned property up 10 feet up from the bank or some measure like that. And that's the canals. It's in when a home that backs, a property backs straight up on it. But it's in the irregular shaped areas, like where there's a pie shape or person has an area that's a lot, a size of a lot that goes back to a canal.
That's right.
And they end up deciding they want a view of the canal and they clear everything.
Yes, that's right.
And I had asked, what's the enforcement mechanism for those that... those buffers, that 50-foot buffer, because once you start putting grass in and fertilizing and cutting and the grass clippings and everything goes into that branch, next thing you know, it warms up in the middle of summer, and it's algae, and then fish are floating, and next, it destroys it.
No, the branch has, I believe, a 50-foot minimum buffer on it, and since they will be putting it under conservation easement, they'll get those little signs that they'll put right at the front in people's backyards to tell them that this is a conservation easement. You cannot pass it.
Yes, I like that. Conservation easement. How about the Hewlett Swamp?
I have not seen many pieces of Palm Coast Park on the Hewlett Swamp side come in yet. It's mostly on the Hewlett Branch side where the the single family developments are going in.
The reason I say that is because as I drive up there, I ride my bike over there too a lot, and I see now north of the Belterre Elementary School a big sign that says future home of Life Coast Church Family Center. It's exactly what it says. And I know from in reading on the property appraisal website and snooping around, that property was purchased. A big chunk of that property, if you go back to the map, right north of there, right back in there, and it goes actually behind those.
Yes,
that's what I'm worried about is
how
close
you're
going to get to the swamp.
Yes, I know exactly what piece you're talking about. And I believe
they're only
developing the front portion of it because of the swamp.
All right. Now you've made my day. Mm-hmm. That makes me very happy.
Now, they haven't come in for technical site plan or anything like that. They haven't submitted. They've come in for a couple TRXs just to meet with us and see what they can do. But it's my understanding that they're only going to be developing the front half bordering Belterre.
Oh, that's great news to hear.
They can do a monarch butterfly site.
Okay.
But as far as, again, the branch, they'll be putting all of this under conservation easement, except for the first 450 feet, so the city will be able to maintain any kind of stormwater that passes through under 95 there.
Excellent, yeah.
So they are letting the city have 450 feet out of conservation easement in case they need to do any maintenance, in case anything blocks that thoroughfare underneath 95.
Yeah, but that one, there's no going to be...
You go as one, I'm sorry.
There's not going to be anything developed on that anyway, unless there is an issue, correct?
So this is Sawmill Creek right here on this side of the branch, and we do have a submission in right now for Sawmill Branch, which is going to be over on this side.
Oh! Bigger development.
Yes. It's still part of Palm Coast Park, but it's just another subdivision
called
Sawmill Branch, and that is in the planning process right now.
Oh, crazy. Great. Well, it's a development of regional impact, as the name
absolutely
implies. It's big.
Massive.
Big. What about a time frame? What's the time frame for build out on this? It's got to be years, right? Decades, maybe a decade.
It depends. They're moving pretty quickly right now, but we don't know if that's going to slow down anytime soon. Maybe they build out these two subdivisions and slow down a bit. We don't know what the market's going to do. It's all up to the developer, but right now they have two subdivisions going.
Well, that's some good information. Anybody? Anybody think? Got anything about that?
I don't like the idea with putting up the sign that says conservation area.
I like that conservation.
I don't like that sign.
You don't like?
What's to keep somebody from knocking down the sign and doing what they want to do anyway?
Yeah, but wait a minute. There, in the lieu of a sign, there's nothing.
Well,
there's nothing there.
It couldn't be
like a no trespassing sign. Until you put one up, you can't arrest anybody for trespassing. But once you put the sign up, then they've been on notice.
Yeah, but that's not going to do. It's not a
conservation easement. They can enforce it, and they can require you to mitigate it if you do disrupt the conservation easement in any way.
Ooh, I like that.
You will not do that.
That's right.
Well, you should do it. It's a conservation easement, and it's important for the branch to have that buffer. And just like in many places in town, like I was saying, and like I showed at that PowerPoint presentation, people have cleared a lot.
Yeah.
It's city property. They mow it, they maintain it, they put garden on it, they get a vegetable garden on some of those areas. My concern was that as I look forward in time, I see many developments still happening here. And I know these areas that are city properties, these irregular areas, are going to become more and more valuable from a wildlife standpoint, from an environmental standpoint. You know, in my neighborhood, I have one of these in my backyard, as a matter of fact. There are deer in there, there are bobcat in there, there are a number of bird species. Eagles have not stayed there, but they have come through and landed in that area.
Yeah.
And so I think that their value will increase as we become more and more. So if anybody wants to see an animal, a wildlife, like something of what we have now, we need to take care with those areas that shouldn't be developed, and it's those areas. So that's what. But I think as far as the information that you've given, I think it's something that we can live with. I thank you for that, and I think the 15-foot minimum for the moderate and low quality, I had envisioned in my mind a parking lot right to the edge of the wetland, and that I thought would result in no wetland over time. But if there will be at least a 15-foot, I think the article, not this one, but the one on planning for government, does say that can, and the quality aspect of it, that's a marginal low. Just as long as not every acre of those 1,800 remaining acres are classified as, they better not be classified as all moderate or low. There are wetlands in there that are, for example, in the area up close to the Agriculture Museum, there was a wetland map that was included with that, with the information that went before the planning board. And there, I guess it was last month's meeting, and it showed the wetlands that are found on the blocks. They have all that area divided. All this massive area of the DRI is divided up into development blocks. Block 10A, 10B, 10C, they're going to do different types of developments. One is single-family residential homes, multifamily, business, offices, industrial area, a park, I guess they're going to donate area for that also, but to the city, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, in the areas up by the Agriculture Museum, they have, from the map, there's a lot of wetlands on those blocks that they have divided up. And it's just, I don't know if now they're going to shoehorn in some of these developments. But anyway, that's just my own philosophy. Jordan and Beth, I thank you for that information. Appreciate it. Very good. And the group, how do we feel? We accomplished a heck of a lot tonight. We've got a lot of things going on now, and I think we can move forward. Let's go back to the agenda. We're all done with that item?
Yes.
Public participation. Robin, you've already spoken.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you have applied, and hope to see you again.
I'd like to...
Discussion of matters not on the agenda.
Yes. Could we...
Ed.
We meet in November, don't we?
No.
We do not. So the next meeting is December 5th. And
yes.
We hope to have the... you had somebody tentatively scheduled for December 5th.
Well, I'm going to see if I can get in touch with this expert. I'm going to talk to Nancy with the Arts Foundation.
I'd like... Robin maybe get on the agenda to tell us in detail about, you seem like you're an expert on monarchs, how they run, what they are, how to, what happens, how they, I don't know any of that.
Do you have pictures of the monarch?
Could you give us a presentation sometime?
Possibly.
That could be a 5-minute presentation or something like that about key things about monarchs.
The bottom line is the kids love them. So when they're talking about bringing the kids around.
Yes.
My granddaughters, we go around and count them, how many.
Yeah. No, I meant how they migrate and how they grow, yes, and how they're born and what they,
yes,
evolution of them and things at what stage. And that's what I'm talking about, the technical thing.
Yeah.
You know that.
This gentleman that you are trying to get, I can't think of his name.
Oh, he would be the expert?
Yes.
Then?
Yes,
yes, and maybe he has a PowerPoint presentation that he could bring in, showing us the stages, and that would get us rolling as to what the time frame is when we got to get moving on this, because this is what I keep thinking is, now we're into, you know, before we know it, I hate to say it, time goes by quickly these days in our lives, maybe, not the ladies here, things are going slow with them. Although I bet not with your little one. I bet you're going like, wait a minute, I was over there.
Yes, <very fast. laughs>
And Jordan, that's the future, whatever it may hold for you. But here, you know, we're going to be meeting in December, and then comes the new year. So we are, we're moving right along. It'll be 2020 before we know it. So let's get moving on this. I'll see if we can get a presentation for our meeting in December.
If not, then January.
And if not, then January. And then we can also hopefully hear from the Beth. We'll work together, both encouraging positive movement from the Garden Club, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, we can do that. Okay, everybody, I think that's everything we've had. We went through a heck of a lot. I thank everybody. Did anybody have anything else? I see an item on the agenda as adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Anyone? Glenn makes a motion to adjourn. I second. Second by Bob. All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
It's unanimous.